Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by NatureBox. NatureBox delivers tasty snacks made with high-quality ingredients right to your door. NatureBox is offering Campfire fans 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/Jim. That's naturebox.com/Jim. Thanks, NatureBox.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I'm Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you're having a happy holiday season and Merry Christmas to you. Now, today, the campfire is all about Christmas. We take a look back. And we share with you several of the best Christmas stories we've ever featured on the program. And I should say this, now some of these might be a little scary for the little ones. And we talk about things like waiting for Santa, but maybe seeing something more sinister and those kind of things. Might be a little frightening for them and really goes into areas you don't want to get into. So if it were me and I had a small child, I would not let them listen to it because it might be just a little spooky, just a little spooky. Nothing horrible, but just a little spooky for the little ones who are so excited for this time of the year. But I hope that you really, really enjoy it. And at the end, we're going to have, well, a special surprise that I think is kind of neat. I thank you so much. Merry Christmas. And here is the Christmas Campfire. Well, we have Adam on the line from Connecticut, and here is a story, well, not about Christmas in Connecticut, to quote that old movie, but Christmas in Vermont, and something very eerie that happened to him at that very magical time of the year. But this was magical maybe in a different kind of way. Absolutely. Adam, thanks for coming on the show. Tell us what happened that very mysterious Christmas.
Absolutely, and thanks, Jim, for having me on the show. It's a pleasure. I'm a big fan of yours and everything you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Basically, a couple years ago, my family had rented out a big house in Vermont for Christmas, and my family, my father's side of the family, is kind of scattered throughout the East Coast up and down to Florida, so we don't really get to see each other that often. So we all went up to Vermont one year for this Christmas, and it was a really old house. It was kind of creepy, and, you know, we were there for about 5 days. And, you know, throughout the 5 days, some weird things were happening. There were some, you know, servants working there and everything, and they would kind of tell us some stories about, you know, the house possibly being haunted. And so, long story short, basically we get to Christmas Eve, and when we got there, actually me and my brother, we didn't have kind of our own room to stay in. Everybody, you know, they're with kids and everything, they all kind of got the first pick of the room. So we were kind of just sleeping on couches and everything. And, you know, we'd sleep in different areas of the house. But Christmas Eve, we decided to sleep actually down in the main living area next to the Christmas tree and everything and, you know, whatever. And it got to be about 2:30 in the morning, I think it was. And I woke up, actually, and I see this just kind of tall figure at the top of a pretty big staircase. And the figure was just kind of sitting there, and it was funny, it kind of just like was kind of motionless. And at first I wasn't sure, I thought maybe someone had gotten up to go to the bathroom or, you know, even possibly sleepwalking for all I knew. And,
or Santa Claus.
Exactly, yeah, that was definitely a possibility. So I remember thinking, you know, it was kind of like just the silhouette of the figure that I saw. I couldn't make out kind of any facial features or anything like that. I remember thinking to myself, though, that it almost looked like it was wearing kind of like a tuxedo or something like that.
Huh.
It was very strange. And it started walking down the stairs. And I remember one of the first things I thought when it started walking down the stairs was how weird and strange it looked like when it was walking. It was the best way I could really describe it was kind of almost like it was like a puppet on a string in a way.
Right.
You know, it was very... it was very just unnatural kind of. And I remember actually, even like I said, you know, I had just woken up, and at first I thought, you know, I was kind of like dreaming, and I actually kind of, you know, rubbed my eyes a little bit and, you know, just to make sure I was, you know, conscious, you know what I mean? Cause this was, kind of weird. And like I said, at first I didn't think it was anything supernatural. I thought it was just someone, you know, in the house. And, so it was kind of walking down the stairs in that weird, weird way. And it finally got to the bottom of the stairs, and it kind of started looking around. Like I could see its head tilt back a little bit, like almost like someone who had like come home after a long time and hadn't been there, and it was like almost looking around like, you know, God, it's great to be back or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
It was really, you know, it, and you know, the more I thought about it after it happened, the more I was kind of, you know, thinking that, you know, that was the way it was looking, you know. And it was looking around and everything, and kind of moving back and forth in kind of a weird wavy way still. And you know, at this point I'm starting to get a little freaked out because I'm not sure exactly what's going on, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, and this completely caught me off guard, I heard in a very weird, deep male's voice, it said, "Oh my love, what a mirror image we are." And I'll never forget. It was that. Yeah,
I just got chills.
Me too.
Literally.
I mean, when I was just thinking about it, you know,
who was it saying this to?
That's the thing. It wasn't like, you know, at this point, it was still kind of like, you know, kind of almost like bobbing back and forth almost, and kind of looking around, and it didn't seem to direct that to anybody in particular, which was the weird thing too. And, you know, I've obviously gone over it in my head 1,000 times, and I am, you know, it was very clear. And the way that it sounded when, you know, this thing said it, was it almost was like someone saying it in like a cave. It was kind of like a weird, like echoey
echo,
type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very strange. I'd never really experienced anything like that. And, you know, so, and I'm 100% sure that it said, you know, "Oh my love, what a mirror image we are," you know, and I still don't really know what it means exactly. You know what I mean? Or exactly what it was, you know, if it was talking to the house, or it was like, you know, I don't know if it was someone who previously owned the house.
It's interesting.
You know what I mean?
He said it was in a tuxedo. It was around Christmas time. So maybe it was
right.
A ghost from the past who had been dressed up for some kind of Christmas get together or Christmas party.
Absolutely. You know, it's so fun. I never even thought about it that way. That's,
I mean,
that's
just
point,
what comes.
Actually.
Yeah, that's what comes to mind. I got to tell you, literally, that gave me chills. Now, the story is spooky enough, but that phrase, "My love,
right.
what a mirror image we are." I mean, that that's the capper right there. That really.
Oh, absolutely.
That's probably the name of this episode, by the way.
that's so cool. That is so cool. Yeah, I mean, it's something that stuck with me, and it's just like I said, I still don't know. The next morning, actually, when we were all kind of having Christmas breakfast and everything, you know, I had asked, you know, everybody, you know, there was, I think around 15 of us there. And, you know, I was like, was anybody up going to the bathroom or kind of looking around the house, or, you know, I don't know if someone got a little tipsy, you know what I mean? And was just kind of wandering, and everybody said, no, you know, we were all, you know, nobody, you know, said they were sleepwalking or anything like that. And, you know, basically what happened to the apparition that I saw, it walked into another room, that was kind of, you know, off to the right of me. And, you know, it just never came back. And at that point I wasn't sure what to do. And you know what I mean? I kind of just stayed there. I didn't really even get up to look for anybody. You know what I mean? I was just so kind of baffled that, you know, and I was up for about an hour afterward and nothing came back out of that room, you know,
that is absolutely freaky.
Right. And like I said, the next morning no one owned up to it. And actually my uncle said, after I had kind of explained a little bit of what happened, he said, you know, I meant to ask you guys too if anybody peeked their head into my room. And he said it was around 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, he was, you know, I don't think he could give an exact time because he was, you know, asleep as well, but he said that, you know, he saw his door open and the light from the hallway come in. And someone peeked their head in and kind of looked into their room. And, you know, no one really fessed up to that either. So I don't know if it was the same thing or, you know what I mean? So that was kind of a little bit more, you know, just something to kind of confirm that, you know, maybe I, you know, really did see something or, you know what I mean? That someone else experienced it too, you know? So.
Yeah. Whew. I got to tell you, it's very, very chilling what you tell. And maybe somebody out there will have an idea what that means. What that phrase means, because it could mean so many different things, but maybe somebody out there, maybe that's a saying, you know, I don't know.
Absolutely.
So we'll wait to hear, but Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing that very chilling story. Well, next up on the show is Alex. Now he's been with us before. He's from Brooklyn and he has a story actually pretty apt for the time of year that we're heading into, a Christmas story, but not necessarily the most heartwarming one. Just one that puts a little chill into your, you have to get a little extra rum in your eggnog or something. But anyway, Alex, thank you for joining us tonight on the show. And tell us about this spooky Christmas Eve that you had a few years back.
Okay. Well, it's good to be back, Jim. This happened to me, I guess, back in 2007. It was my first year in Brooklyn. And I wasn't able to go back to my hometown, my home city, Rochester, New York, that year because I was just starting a new job.
Right.
So I was all alone in this new apartment. My girlfriend had left, sitting there Christmas Eve, pretty depressed, to be honest with you. Flipping through the channels, I think probably what's the one everybody always watches on Christmas Eve? Can hear a bell every time.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Wonderful Life was on. I was flipping through that, and I start hearing like a knocking on the wall, and I don't think much of it. I flip through the channels, and it persists a little bit. It's like, but it's not like pipes clearing. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's different. It's different than pipes bouncing. So I don't really notice it. I've only noticed it after the fact of the matter. but it's weird. It persists. And we had gotten, my girlfriend and I had gotten these two kittens like 6 months before.
Right.
And that was another reason, I guess, why I didn't go home. But Bear and Ox, the two kittens I see, they're playing in front of me. And then all of a sudden they kind of like stand up and they huddle together and they start watching something on the ceiling. And this is kind of around the point when I guess I noticed the knocking, and I'm watching them and I'm watching their eyes kind of move in the same way around the ceiling. And I'm looking up at the ceiling to see if there's maybe like a fly or a bug up there, and there's nothing. So then I start getting a little nervous, and I think I hear the knocks a couple times, and I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. I'm going to go to bed. I think I get up out of the living room. I walk into the kitchen. I don't know, maybe like wash a glass or something. I can't really remember. Go walk into the bedroom. Walk back out of the living room, back into the kitchen, and I noticed that their water dish, which had been full, mm-hmm. and had been in a place next to their food dish, literally like a minute before I had been in there, has been knocked over, flipped upside down, and pushed into the middle of the kitchen floor. And I stop and I'm like, okay, they somehow these two kittens managed to do that. And I'm looking all around for the excess water. I look under the couch. I look under all over the floor, and there's nothing. And I hear the knock again. And at that point, I'm done. I'm done with the whole thing. I know that there's no way that they knocked the water over. And there was a bottle of whiskey there on the counter, and I took a shot of whiskey and stood there for a minute. I took another shot of whiskey, and I went, straight to bed.
I guess so. I mean, do you think, I mean, was there any history around the place, or do you think that maybe it was because, you know, some people might say it was almost like a mini poltergeist where maybe you had a lot of emotion going on and maybe somehow you were generating this? I mean, I've heard those kind of theories before. What are your thoughts on what it might have been?
So there had been nothing else that really happened in that building. I will say also that it was a 3-story brownstone, and the 2 other units in that building were gone. And actually, you look out the window and you look down the street, the whole street was basically blacked out dead. Like, everybody had gone home. My thoughts on it, I like to think of something a little more positive. My grandfather had passed away that October, and I like to think that he was just, you know, checking in on me and being like, you know, you're alone, buddy. I know you're alone, and the rest of the family is back in Rochester, but, you know, I'm here, and maybe he didn't know he was freaking me out with the water thing, but I like to think that it was him.
That's a cool thought, and it kind of is very interesting that it just happened to happen that year that your grandfather passed. So I guess it is a happy Christmas story after all, even if it kind of took a little scaring to get you there. So that's a great story. Well, Alex, I really appreciate it, and I thank you for sharing this Christmas time story with us.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by NatureBox. NatureBox delivers tasty snacks made with high-quality ingredients right to your door. Now, what do you do when you want to snack, but all you can find in the house is junk food? Well, do you rely on your immense self-control to resist the temptation of the junk? Well, I've been there before, and I can tell you 9 times out of 10, you'll eat the junk food. But there is a better way. Start snacking healthy with NatureBox. Now, NatureBox makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. My personal favorites are the cashew crumble and the honey Dijon pretzels. My mouth is just watering thinking about it. And NatureBox, and this is an update, NatureBox recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel at any time. It's simple. Go to naturebox.com/Jim and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the snacks you want, and they'll deliver them right to your door. No muss, no fuss. With NatureBox, you'll never get bored, and their new snacks every month inspired by real customer feedback. And if you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will stand behind it. They're not afraid. They'll replace it for free. And right now, even better for Campfire fans, and you are one because you're listening, so you qualify, NatureBox is offering Jim Harold's Campfire fans 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/Jim. That's naturebox.com/Jim for 50% off your first order. 50%! You got to give this a try. Go over to naturebox.com/Jim. Snacking made better, made healthy, and my favorite, made delicious. Thanks, NatureBox. Jenny from Maryland joins us. She's a loyal Plus Club member. Said she found us by accident, but apparently that's been a happy accident. We're so glad she's on the line. Jenny, thank you for joining us, and tell us about this Christmas time story.
Okay, Jim. I've had a lot of weird experiences in the house that I now live in. I've been here 17 years, but this story happened about 9 years ago. And it was Christmas time. It was Christmas night. I was very sick. I had convinced my husband to take the kids and go along and do their Christmas day thing with the relatives.
Sure.
So I was staying home, and eventually I started feeling sorry for myself, and, you know, I was just feeling physically bad because I was very sick, and then emotionally, you know, bad because, you know, I didn't have my husband and my kids and my family. But anyway, I live in Maryland. It was a very cold winter. I know my windows were shut, but anyway, I was in my kitchen, and I don't know why. I just sort of sat down on the floor, and I was just feeling rotten, and suddenly, this very large cold wind comes blowing through the kitchen, almost to the point where it sort of moved the hairs around my face, as if someone were blowing on your face. But it was more than that. It was just kind of a big wind. And like I said, my windows were shut. I thought that was very odd, but I sort of was still sitting there. And then suddenly, I felt all this, I heard knocking, and I felt it under the floor where I was sitting. It was as if people were in my basement, knocking on the ceiling, right where I was sitting, and it was so strong and so loud, I could feel it in my body. It was, you know, I was sort of jiggling, and it just scared me to death because I wasn't expecting it. And I did hop up, and I kind of looked around, and I went down the basement when I got my nerve up, that is, didn't see anything, but it was very, very strange. And the only thing I can think of is perhaps the spirit of Christmas was trying to get me out of my funk because I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself and all that. But interestingly enough, later that night I ended up in the ER because I really was very sick, and I needed to get some further help. And I don't know, maybe that was Christmas spirit saying, don't worry, things are going to be okay. But like I said, I just had a lot of weird experiences in my house, but that one happened Christmas night, so I thought that was very odd. But
well, I think that
just
is
a short little tale.
Well, those are sometimes the best ones. And I do think that this is a very kind of spiritually charged time of the year, and that maybe some things happen. We've had programs on it before a few years ago. I think it was Mary Beth Crane. We did a show on Christmas ghosts. I was trying to look up more people like that so we could do more shows, but there's not a lot of that out there. But I do hear these stories. So, Jenny, thank you for your support. I know you're a Plus Club member, and thank you for that. And thank you for joining us, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. You too, Jim.
Derek from Florida, brand new listener, another one, and he is going to tell us about a story that's extremely unique. I've got to tell you. Now, when you think of Christmas, I know me, I've always had a soft spot in my heart. Visions of sugar plums, Santa Claus, happiness, gifts. Derek's sister had a very, very different dream. You might call it the nightmare before Christmas. Derek, thank you for joining us tonight. Tell us about this story of your younger sister and a very spooky Christmas.
Well, first off, thank you very much for having me on. It's awesome.
Well, it's awesome to have you.
Thank you. Well, I guess I'll start off by telling it to you exactly how she told me then and how she's told me to this very day, because we actually, I mean, this happened when we were both young and in our, you know, childhood home. And we still talk. We were actually still talking about it earlier this week. And, you know, I'd say when it happened, she was probably no more than maybe six.
Mm-hmm.
And I was maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that bracket. But something that our parents used to do every Christmas morning, you know, in the a.m., was, you know, they would do the whole Santa thing, like, while we were sleeping, and put presents out there for us. And like a lot of other kids would, I'm sure, we always had trouble sleeping that night because we knew we were going to get presents in the morning. So what we would do was sometimes just, you know, sneak out there later and see what, you know, Santa had brought us. And
right.
That's something that we often did. It was always in the, you know, the early a.m. hours that we did that. And we would always, you know, sneak out there and see what Santa brought us and all that stuff. So that's what she was essentially doing. This time I was actually asleep. So basically she walked out into the living room, and it was very dark out there. And she was looking, she wasn't looking across the room. She started out, you know, looking down on the ground because she saw, you know, my parents had already done the Santa Claus thing. They already laid out all the toys that we would find in the morning.
Right.
So she was focused on that, and she, I guess, she was looking at the ground because that's, you know, there was stuff around the tree. So she was looking at the Christmas tree and looking at the presents, the toys and stuff. And she looked up and noticed a solid black figure literally just standing there in the middle. I mean, it had made no sound. She didn't see it when she'd entered the living room. I mean, it's, you know, it's dark out. It gets dark out there, but if someone's standing out there, you could still see them clearly because we have, you know, light that comes through the windows at night and from the street lights and everything. So it's pretty,
right.
It doesn't get that dark. So basically she looked up and saw this black figure, solid, just standing, maybe from what she explained, no more than arm's length away from her.
Ooh.
And she backed up a little bit and she thought it was me at first because I guess it was around my height.
Right.
So she figured it was me, maybe like sneaking up on her or something like that, or maybe I was standing out there looking at something else. And then, so she backed up because the hallway where our rooms are apart from each other, you know, clear view into the living room. So she backed up, looked into my room, just to make sure, I guess. And I was sleeping in my bed, and the only other people in the house were my parents. They were, you know, they were passed out and back in their room, so she was right. The only one awake. And yeah, so once she realized that she was the only one awake, yet there was still something. You know, and when she looked back at it, it was still there. It hadn't moved, and it wasn't. You know, I asked her a lot about it the first time she told me it, and like if it could have been a shadow and, you know, and try to explain, you know, debunk it in a way and try to find a rational explanation for it. But, as she described it, it was a solid black figure, you know, not like silhouette. It had dimensions, you know, and it was just.
That is chilling. Now, so she walks out hoping to catch Santa in the act. Instead, she sees this like sinister, dark figure standing there. Now, the first thing that I would say, not saying that your sister's wrong, she did see it. What do you think? And I'm sure you've asked her the same question. Could have it been the Nightmare Before Christmas? Could she have actually just had a nightmare? Because the kids that age, very excitable, you know, they watch a lot of specials. I mean, I think of that story reminds me of The Grinch, actually. So oh, yeah. Is it, what does she say when you ask her if she had a dream?
Well, that's of course the first thing I asked her. And I've asked her it many times over the years. And even to this day, I mean, she's in her 20s now, and she's like, no, I was awake. She still remembers it just as clear as it happened. And that's not the only weird thing that's happened. We've both had paranormal experiences in that house.
Yeah.
That was just as far as what happened to her, that was just probably the most notable one.
Yeah,
because she actually saw something full-bodied.
Yeah, that's
there.
Very notable. That's very notable. The thing is, I bet the next year she didn't try to catch Santa in the act, did she?
Oh, no. That's the thing. both me and her, we've always been into the paranormal stuff, even since we were younger. And I've had stuff happen to me, and later on, though, because I've had experiences where I've woken up in the middle of the night, gone to use the bathroom, lay back down, and then I've had a couple occasions where I heard something, someone whisper something into my ear,
mm-hmm.
and that freaked me out. And I had one time where I had just woken up again, trying to fall back asleep, and it felt like that someone had sat down on the bed beside me. She's had experience where she thought she was, you know, really violently shaken awake by something in the middle of the night. Now, all the stuff that happens, though, especially just after awakening. I'm first going to, because I do know a bit about how the human mind works and how powerful the human brain is, and the kind of things that people mistake for paranormal activity sometimes, like sleep paralysis, you know, when they wake up, they can't move. It feels like, and I've had sleep paralysis happen to me, and it really does feel, and I knew what it was when it happened to me.
Right.
This is more recently, but it, you know, you wake in the waking between being asleep and fully awake, your mind can do some crazy things. And so that's why I didn't put too much thought into some of the ones that I experienced, especially since it was so close to me waking up. But that experience, she still remembers as clear as day, and we were actually just talking about it.
I don't know how you couldn't remember that one. Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying the show, and thank you very much for sharing this very spooky, spooky story. We appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thanks for letting me share, and I will keep listening. I love the show.
We'd like to thank all those storytellers from years past. You know, one of the cool things about the campfire, and I really over time have begun to believe this, is that it is kind of a journal of stories. And people may appear on the show 6-7 years ago now, but their story still lives on, regardless of what happens in their life. If you want to share your story, please go over to jimherold.com/campfire and sign up. So it's kind of like an audio history of campfire stories. And I love that about it. And I think that's so cool. It may be something that I underestimated, the power to reach back into the past. And that's what this next segment is about. And now for that special surprise I told you about at the beginning of the show. For me, one of the kind of bittersweet parts of Christmas is looking back on the past. Maybe people we've lost. When you look at your kids, if you have kids, if you're that blessed to have kids, looking up and see how quickly they've grown up. And that's really bittersweet because you're very happy with the people they've become. But you're sad to see those little ones grow up sometimes. And back in 2010, my family got around the mic and re-recorded a special piece for Christmas time. Merry Christmas, everybody. Christmas is a very special time around the Harold household, and kind of in commemoration of those old TV specials, you know, the Bing Crosby TV specials, those kind of crazy things, it kind of harkens back to a simpler time. So I thought it would be fun if the whole Harold family did something kind of like that, and we're going to read you A Visit from St. Nick by Clement Moore. Here it is. Merry Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap.
When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash.
The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer.
With the little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name.
Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all.
As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas, too.
And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound.
He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack.
His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow.
The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed, like a bowl full of jelly.
He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all his stockings, and turned with a jerk, and laying a finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose.
He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle,
and away they all flew like the down of a thistle.
But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight,
"Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.